All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of the Psalms. And specifically, I want you to turn to Psalm 24, the 24th Psalm. While you're turning, I'll make this announcement. Not next Sunday, but the Sunday after that, which is like May the 10th or May the 11th, somewhere in there. That's Mother's Day, and Dr. Glenn Matthews is going to be here all day to speak for us, and so just give you word on that. Hope you'll plan to be here, and we'll look forward to a great day. Glenn is one of my dearest friends and sort of my Apostle Paul. He took me under his wing back when I was a teenager, and has been a real blessing and a help to me. And he'll be here on that Sunday, two Sundays from today. All right, Psalm 24. Everybody got it? All right, I want to read the entire psalm to you, beginning in verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the holy into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor swore deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. All right, now look at me for a moment. These psalms were hymns. We have a hymn book on the back of every pew. And every service, we sing a couple of hymns. Well, the book of Psalms is 150 songs, hymns, that the Jews would sing in worship. When they came to the temple, they would sing these songs. All of these songs had a tune. They all had a melody. And then you would sing the Psalms in worship and in giving glory and honor to God. All right, now if you'll notice in your hymn book, you will open to a hymn and there will be verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, whatever the case may be. All right, now this little word Selah that you see at the end of verse 6, that little word Selah simply means think about it. That's what the word means, think about it. So in Psalm 24, we have the first verse, which is verses 1 through verse 6, and then it says think about it. Now, what they would do right there is they would stop singing, and the instruments would just play an interlude. They would just play maybe the song over again. And the idea was you were to, while the instrument was playing, instead of singing again, you were simply to think about what you had just sung. Make sense? All right, so that's the word Selah. It means think about it. All right, look at verse 7. Here's the second verse of the 24th Psalm. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Now, do you notice that that's capitalized? That he is calling somebody the King of glory. And then in verse 8, who is this King of glory? Answer, the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? Answer, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Think about it. All right, let's pray together. And then I want to speak to you this morning a message I've entitled, Who is the King of Glory? Now, before I pray and before I preach, it is okay for you this morning. It's okay every morning and every evening, but it's okay for you to say amen this morning. All right? I just want you to know that. It is okay for you to get excited. It is okay for you to feel emotion. And it is okay if you want to shed a tear. It is okay if you want to throw your hands up in the air. If you want to run around the building, I'll run with you. How's that? All right? Who is this King of Glory? Folks, if when I identify who the King of Glory is this morning, and it does not move you, I would go over to the emergency room after church this morning and get my blood pressure checked if I were you. All right, who is the King of Glory? Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now your blessings upon the preaching of your word. We're so thankful for the Bible. And Lord, we're thankful this morning that the Bible tells us who the King of Glory is. I pray that you will bless in a great way and stir our hearts. And Father, help us this morning to realize who it is that we serve. And I pray that we will love you more. I pray that our faith will grow. I pray that we'll be encouraged, that we will leave here more determined than ever to live for the Lord. And Father, if there is one person in this room that does not know for sure the King of Glory, if there is one person who is not sure that should something happen and they were to leave this world, that they would go right straight into your presence in heaven, I pray that you will speak to that heart. Father, draw us to yourself this morning. The way of the cross leads home. Bless now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as I said a moment ago, the book of the Psalms is the hymn book of the Bible. Now, if I were to take a poll in here this morning and just ask, what is your favorite psalm? The overwhelming majority of people in this room would say, well, my favorite psalm is Psalm 23. And if you will look at your Bible, you will notice that 23 is right before the psalm that we read for the text this morning. Everybody knows Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We all know that. We have all gleaned comfort and encouragement from Psalm 23. But there is something amazing that is found in these Psalms, and many things that are amazing. But I want to point one amazing thing out to you from the Psalms that where we are looking this morning. Psalm 22, if you go back one more, so you got 24, then go back to 23, everybody's favorite, then go back to Psalm 22, you will see the psalmist describing the first advent, the first coming of our Savior into this world. And what he is specifically describing here is what the Lord Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. In Psalm 22, he is in prophetic form. Now remember, the psalmist David wrote this, and it was hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus came into this world. So hundreds of years before Christ, David wrote this psalm, and in prophetic form, he gave us several of the sayings that the Lord Jesus uttered when he was on the cross. He is describing here Jesus dying on the cross at Calvary for the sins of mankind. We see in verse 1 the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was uttered by David many years before Jesus ever went to the cross, and David was telling us what the Lord was going to do when he became sin for us, and God had to abandon his own son while he paid sin's penalty for us. It is a vivid, prophetic description of the Savior hanging on the cross at Calvary. That's Psalm 22. Then you have Psalm 23, the comfort, the encouragement. But now look at our text this morning and Psalm 24. And here in Psalm 24, we have a description of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And the psalmist tells us that that the one who is coming back is none other than the one who went to Calvary's cross and paid sin's penalty, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not only the Savior, he is also the King. And he's coming back in Psalm 24 to rule and to reign upon this earth. When he comes again, when he comes the second time, and don't forget, he told us many times that he was coming a second time. The Apostle Paul told us that he is coming a second time. Over and over and over, the Bible tells us that Jesus is coming again. Now, when he died on the cross and they buried him in the tomb, they thought, well, this is the end of this. Oh, no, he resurrected from the grave. And then he ascended back to the Father. And when he ascended, the angels came to remind the disciples what Jesus had taught them, that if he went back to heaven, he would come again. And so we're just now waiting on his return. Now, understand this. Understand this. The second coming of Christ that is being referred to here in Psalm 24 is at the end of the tribulation period. I have taught you many, many times that there is a little simple 5R outline that will help you understand biblical prophecy. The first R is the word rapture, the rapture of the church. That is the next prophetic thing to happen on God's calendar. It could happen today. There is nothing that prevents the rapture from taking place. I think it would be a wonderful thing should the Lord come back today. I don't know about you, but the rapture of the church, that's the next thing. Well, what's that all about? Well, the Lord comes in the clouds. The trump of God sounds. The dead in Christ rise first. Why? They got 6 feet further to go than the rest of us. Everybody knows that. All right? So the dead in Christ rise first, then those of us that are alive and remain will be caught up together in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we will see face to face the one who went to the cross and died for us on Calvary. We'll see Jesus. So here is God's plan, the rapture. Following the rapture will be the ruin period, 7 years of tribulation. 7 years of judgment poured out upon this earth. And then at the end of the ruin period will be the actual return of Jesus Christ. And that is what is being described here in this chapter. The Lord Jesus coming back to defeat the armies of the Antichrist, who will, during the ruin period, during the tribulation, rise up and seek to destroy Israel and wipe them off the face of the planet. And just before that destruction, the Lord Jesus, with his saints, with all of us who were raptured up, we come back with him and we rule and reign with him. So you got rapture, ruin, return, and then reign, R-E-I-G-N, 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And we will rule and reign with him. And then the final, after that 1,000 years, is restoration. New heaven, new earth, eternity, no more sin, no more curse, all of it gone. The devil's in the lake of fire. The Antichrist is in the lake of fire. Sin and death will be destroyed in the lake of fire. And we live in the presence of the Lord for eternity. All right, so that's the plan. Now, here's what I want you to focus on this morning. I want you to notice that in Psalm 22, you have the first advent. Then in Psalm 24, you have the second advent. So what's Psalm 23 all about? Well, it is all about comfort and encouragement for us between the advents. It is all about comfort and encouragement. The most familiar of all the Psalms was written as comfort for God's people between his two advents to this earth. Folks, no matter how bad things get, the Lord is our shepherd. I mean, with the Lord as my shepherd, I have no wants. For he supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But now let's focus in on Psalm 24. And in Psalm 24, we see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is being described here is not the rapture. Please separate that in your mind. This is the Lord's literal return to this earth at the end of the tribulation with his saints to defeat the armies of Antichrist and to establish his millennial kingdom. And I want you to notice something that just stood out to me, and that's what I want to preach on this morning. I want you to notice that when he comes back, and when he defeats the Antichrist, and when he goes to establish his kingdom, the world is going to be confused as to who he is. Just like they are today. They are going to be confused about who this King of Glory is. Who is this King of Glory? Now, certainly, we have been trying to tell them, but they just won't listen. I mean, it's not like we have been keeping it a secret who this King of Glory is. We've been warning people. We've been preaching the gospel. We've been standing and proclaiming, thus saith the Lord, for a long, long time. And churches just like ours all over the world have been doing the same. We have been warning them about the wrath that is to come, but for some reason or another, they just don't have time to listen to the message. They don't read the Bible. They don't know what the Bible says. Oh, they'll tell you they read the Bible, but they don't read the Bible. And so they're not going to know. That's why they're asking the question, who is this King of Glory? You see, the world today is too busy with American Idol, and they're too busy with The Voice, and they're too busy with their gym fitness class, and they're too busy with their Orioles obsession and their Ravens obsession, and they're too busy with their little leagues and with their yard and with their garden and with their lodges and with their denominational social clubs. Come on. And with their hobbies, and with their downtime, and with making money, and with their book face status. Yep. And they're too busy with their political correctness, and they're too busy with education, and they're too busy with human rights, and they're too busy with protecting turtles. And so when he shows up the next time, and the next time when he comes, he's not going to come as the Lamb of God. He's going to come as the lion of the tribe of Judah, the Bible says, treading the winepress and the fierceness and wrath of God Almighty, and the world is not going to know who he is. And so they'll be standing around asking, who is this King of Glory? And I can see it now when he comes. I can see it now when the Battle of Armageddon takes place. And you've got thousands upon thousands, yea, millions of people that are laying dead in the field of Megiddo, in the valley of Esdraelon. I can see it now. As on that great plain, the blood is up to the horse's bridle. I can see it now as Jesus walks through the eastern gate and goes and sits down upon the throne of David and outlines his kingdom for 1,000 years. There will be an emergency meeting of the United Nations. You wait and see. I mean, you talk about getting everybody together. And the whole purpose for this meeting will be to discuss who is this King of Glory. And Vladimir Putin's bunch is going to ask, who is this King of Glory? And Susan Rice is going to ask on behalf of the USSA. That's the United States of Socialist America. Who is this King of Glory? And Putin will gather his bunch and they'll say, well, now, wait a minute, this can't be Jesus. We banned him a long time ago when Stalin was our leader. And we banned the Bible. And we shut down the churches and killed every preacher and every Christian we could find. And then Susan Rice is going to get up and say, well, we don't think it's Jesus either, because this can't be Jesus. We got rid of him under Barack's second term. So there's no way that this could be Jesus. And the whole world is going to stand in shock and awe at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question in the papers is going to be this: who is this King of Glory? Well, let me tell you who the King of Glory is. You see, we have a little advantage. We have a Bible, and we can read it. And when we have a Bible and we can read it and then we believe it, we will know who the King of Glory is. And folks, I'm going to say this. We should not be surprised that the world does not know who he is. For you see, the world has never understood God's plan of redemption for mankind. Even though that plan has been in the Bible all along, the world has failed to see it. That's sad, isn't it? I mean, even when they're confronted with it face to face, there are a lot of folks who refuse to believe what God has said in his word. You see, as soon as Adam sinned in the garden, God announced his plan. God said that he would send a redeemer who would pay the penalty that man owes for sin. For you see, when Adam sinned, he became a sinner. And when he became a sinner, he then reproduced, and that which he reproduced also was a sinner. You ever notice that you don't have to teach your kids to do wrong? They just automatically know how to do that. You have to teach your children to do right. When Solomon said, train a child in the way he should go, what did he mean by that? He meant train your children to do right. You don't have to set a third grader down and say, now I'm going to teach you how to cheat in school. No, they automatically know how to do that. You don't have to take a first grader and say, now before we get the day started, let me teach you how to lie to mommy and daddy. No, they automatically know how to do that. It's bred into them. You say, well, where'd they get it? From you. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as soon as Adam sinned, God announced his plan. Well, what was his plan? Well, God said that he would send his Redeemer who would pay the penalty that man owes for sin. You say, well, Pastor, what was that penalty? Well, if you remember, God told Adam, don't eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The wages of sin is death. What is the penalty for sin? It is death. So in Genesis 3:15, when Adam sinned, God announced to Adam and to Eve that he would pay man's heavy price in order that he might redeem fallen man. And folks, the neat thing is, the rest of the Bible is God revealing that plan. Oh yeah, the rest of the Bible is God revealing that plan. Folks, why do you think that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, I get from behind this pulpit and it matters not what subject I'm preaching on, it matters not what book I'm preaching out of, inevitably, somewhere in the message, I am going to challenge you to read your Bible. Why? Because in this Bible is where you find God's plan. Through picture, through imagery, through type, through prophecy, through allegory, through simple direct statements, the God of heaven announced his plan to redeem fallen man and to make a way for our sin to be forgiven so that we could once again be restored to fellowship with the God that created us and so we could spend eternity with him in heaven. And what is so sad is how men have rejected God's plan. And I want you to understand this. God's plan has always centered on this King of Glory. And sadly, it is this King of Glory that the devil has worked so hard to get men to misunderstand. Oh, he's done everything he can to get folks confused about who the King of Glory is. The psalmist said that when he comes back at his second coming, the world is going to ask, who is this King of Glory? And my point is this morning, the world has never understood who he is. So why should we be surprised that they won't know him when he returns? You see, folks, in God's plan, he knew that the only way our sin could be paid for was with a sinless sacrifice. Somebody had to pay the wages of sin for everybody else. Now, if I stepped up and I said, well, you know, I love my wife and my children and my grandchildren, so I'm going to pay their wages. Well, that's all well and good, but we got a problem. If I give my life to pay for somebody else, who is going to pay for mine? You see, we needed a sinless sacrifice. So God needed a sinless sacrifice to die in the place of sinful man. Do not miss the point. That is where the plan of, that's what the plan of God was all along. It was the plan of God all along. Listen to me now, this will help you. It was the plan of God all along to send himself in the form of his Son so that Jesus, God in the flesh, could go to Calvary's cross and the just could die for the unjust. The just, perfect, Son of the living God could take the penalty that I owe for sin, death, and he who knew no sin could become sin for me and pay the penalty that I owe. Do not miss that point, folks. Do not miss it. That is why the doctrine of the deity of Christ is such a fundamental Bible doctrine. The king, this King of glory is none other than the Lord Jesus. Folks, that's why that the devil has attacked the doctrine of the deity of Christ. That's why these new modern Bibles, all these versions and perversions of the Bible, that's why they all took the text and deleted on purpose all of those verses that identified the King of Glory as the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Jehovah God, God in the flesh, the God of the covenant. That's why these Bibles have taken out the virgin birth. Because if Jesus was not virgin born, then he was born just like you and just like me. If he was born just like you and just like me, then he inherited a sin nature just like you and just like me. And so what do? They take out the virgin birth. In the book of Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall conceive. And these no more than anybody else professors said, oh, we don't like that word virgin. So they took it out and they put the word young maiden in there. Oh my, you just took out of the Bible that which makes it work. You just took out the foundation. Listen, folks, if there is no such thing as a virgin birth, then Jesus was just like us, a sinner. And he needs somebody to die for him. So it was all the plan of God all along. And don't miss the point. And so when you get to the second coming, who is this King of glory? This King of glory is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And John said, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John chapter 1. And in the perfect will and plan of the Father, Jesus went to the cross and gave his life on that cross, the just dying for the unjust. And he paid sin's penalty, sin's price with his death. And then 3 days later, God the Son came out of that tomb. He resurrected victorious over sin in the grave. He ascended back to the Father's right hand at the throne of heaven. And the Bible says that in God's plan, he's coming again. And when he comes, he is not coming as the lamb. That's the way he came the first time. He is coming as the lion of the King of Judah. So make no mistake about it, folks. This King of glory is the risen Lord Jesus Christ. All right, everybody with me? All right, number two. Listen carefully. The Bible reveals to us the identity of this King. Right here in the Bible. Folks, that's why I want you to read your Bibles. Read it, read it, read it, read it. Know your Bible. That's why every time you come in here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, I get up from behind this pulpit and say, open your Bibles. You will never hear me say, open your Baltimore Sun. You will never hear me say, open your Carroll County Times. No, sir. Open your Bible. This Bible reveals to us the identity of this King of glory. Folks, listen to me. God did not hide his plan for mankind. It is not encoded in the Bible, where only a few select people are given a key so that only a few can understand. Oh no, it's as plain as it can be. Through picture, through figure, through illustration, through type, through prophecy, through title, through name, through verse, through parable, and through a multitude of direct statements, God has identified the King of glory. Who is this King of glory? I want us to think about that for just a few moments as I close the message this morning. Let's think about what the Bible says as the Bible identifies this King of Glory. Folks, the King of Glory is all over God's Word. He is the Creator who spoke, and by the very word that He spoke, the entire universe came into existence. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And John and Paul and the author of Hebrews take great detail to tell us that this Creator is God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, question, who is this King of Glory? Well, what does the Bible tell us about who He is? Who is this King of Glory? He is the Almighty. He is the Alleluia. He is the Anointed One. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You see, the Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet, and the Omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet. He is the first, and He's the last. If He's the first and He's the last, then He's all the letters in between. And it takes letters to make words, and John said He is the Word of God. He's not only the Alpha and the Omega, He's everything in between. He is He is our altar. He is the Amen. He is the altogether lovely. Who is this King of Glory? Well, He is the Beloved of the Father. He is the bright and morning star. He is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the brightness of the Father's glory. He is the Bridegroom that is coming one day soon to claim His bride. He is the branch of the Lord. He is the branch of righteousness. He is the bread of life. He is the living bread. And He is the true bread that came down from heaven. Who is this King of Glory? Well, my Bible tells me He's the captain of the Lord of hosts. He is the captain of my salvation. He is the carpenter. He is the Christ, the Anointed One of God. He is the commander. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the consolation of Israel, and He is the chosen of God. Who is this King of Glory? My Bible tells me that He is the daysman. He is the door. There is no other way to the Father except for through Him who is the door. He is the deliverer. He is the day star. He is the day spring from on high. Who is this King of Glory? The Bible says He is our Emmanuel. He is the exalted King. He is the everlasting Father. He is the express image of the Father. He is the elect stone. He is the ensign for the people. Who is this King of Glory? Well, He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is a friend of sinners, hallelujah. He is the friend that loveth at all times, the Bible says. And He is fairer than 10,000 to my soul. He is the faithful and true witness, and He is the first fruits of them that slept, and He is the first begotten from the dead. Who is this King of Glory? Well, He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the God of the whole earth. He is the true God. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting God. He is the God, He is God manifested in the flesh. He is my Lord and my God, and He is the God who is blessed forever. He is the image of God. He is the Word of God. He is the Word that was with God. He is the angel of God. He is the man approved of God. And he is the firstborn of God. Who is this King of Glory? My Bible tells me he's God. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the great high priest. And he is the gift of God. Who is this King of Glory? He is holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. He is our blessed hope. He is my healer. He is my helper. He is the horn of my salvation. And he is the head of the church. Who is this King of Glory? Well, my Bible says that he is the I Am. But not only that, he is the I Am that I Am. The self-existing God. He is the interpreter. He is the intercessor. Who is this King of Glory? Well, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Righteousness. He is the King of Peace. He is the King of Glory. He is the King in all his beauty. He is the King that sitteth forever. And he is the King that will reign forever and ever. Who is this King of Glory? He's the leader. He's the living way. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the loving Savior of all mankind. And he is the lily of the valley and the bright and morning star. He is the lover of my soul. He is the Lord. He is the Lord of all, Lord of the living, Lord of the dead, Lord of the Sabbath, Lord of peace, the Lord of all, and he is Lord over all. Amen. Who is this King of Glory? He's the Maker. He's the Master. He is the mighty God. He is the man. He is the man approved of God, the man Christ Jesus, the second man, the Son of Man, the Maker of all. And thank the Lord, he is our true Messiah. Who is this King of Glory? He's the Nazarene. He is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is our Passover. He is the Prince of Life and the Prince of Kings and the Prince of Peace. He is the Prophet. Hallelujah. Who is this King of Glory? He is our Redeemer. He is our Refiner. He is our Restorer. He is the Rock that is higher than I. He is the Root of David and the Rose of Sharon. And he is the Ruler. And thank God he is my resting place. Amen. Who is this King of Glory? He's my sanctification. He's my Savior. And he's the Seed of the Woman and the Shepherd and the Bishop of our souls. He is Shiloh. He is the Son of the Blessed. He is the Son of David. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of the Highest. He's the Stone. He is our Surety. He is our Shelter in a time of storm. He is our Sure Foundation. And Malachi tells us he is the Son of Righteousness. Who is this King of Glory? He's the True Light. He's the True Vine. He is the truth. Who is this King of Glory? I'll tell you who he is. He's the unchanging God, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He is the unchanging God. Who is this King of Glory? He's the veil. He's the veil. I'll tell you who he is. He's the victor. He is the way. He is the wisdom. He is the witness. He is wonderful. He is the Word. And he is the Word of God that faileth not. And I think the church needs to get ready to see this King in all his glory, because I'm telling you, folks, he's coming again. Who is this King of Glory? God has not hidden that from us. It's right here in the book. The problem is we don't read the book. And that's why men will stand around and scratch their heads and wonder, well, who is this guy? But boy, those of us that know him as Savior, when we hear that trumpet sound, we're going to know exactly who he is. And let me tell you something, folks. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh, right now they use his name as a curse word. Right now they laugh and they mock and they joke and they use his name to curse. But oh, the day is coming when everybody's going to realize, uh-oh, and every knee shall bow. You say, well, Pastor, you make it sound like this could happen today. Yes, it could. The Lord Jesus could blow that trumpet today. He could come back today. When that trumpet sounds, boom, we're gone. We're leaving here. And we're going into the presence of the one who is the King of Glory. My question to you is this morning, dear friend. Do you know him? You say, well, I know about him. No, I didn't ask you that. I mean, do you know him? Do you know him? Is he your Savior? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called upon him? I've said this before many, many times. I don't know the day that I got saved. I know it was a Sunday. I know it was in October. But I don't know the exact date. I know it was 1970. And I could probably go on my phone and find it. I don't know the hour. I don't know what time it was when I got saved. Probably shortly after noon. I don't know any of that. But I could load us all up on church buses this morning. And I could take every single one of us down to Cross Lanes, West Virginia. And even though they have remodeled that church since I got saved, I could get my bearings from the road out front. And I could get my bearings from the front door and the sidewalk that has not changed. And I could take every one of you in this building and walk you down to a spot. And I'll guarantee you I'd be within 6-8 inches of it. I could walk you down to a spot in the Cross Lanes Bible Church. And I could point to that spot and say, people, right there is where I got on my knees and called on the name of the Lord. Can you take me to a spot and show me that that's where you got saved? Why don't you get saved this morning? It's time to quit playing Christianity. It's time to quit playing church. It's time to quit playing religion. And it's time to get right with God. Who is this King of Glory? Brethren, it's Jesus.